Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Johnny Schmuck, Paul Dottino, hope you had a fantastic weekend. I know we did. Sorry for starting a few minutes late. We started ranting and raving before the show, and we ended up losing track of time. That's our fault. But you're with us now, and that's what's important. 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number. Give us a call, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Minicamp begins this week. The final 3 days of football at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center until Paul Dottino goes into hibernation for a month and a half. And the players return on July 28th for training camp. Hope everybody had a great weekend, good weather. Question of the day is a simple one, and it shouldn't really surprise you given this is kind of the minicamp preview show.
Exactly.
Is what player do you think minicamp is most important to? So you can take this a bunch of different ways. The way I would take it, if I was a listener, and I'll pass on my words of advice right now, is what players is it most important to put a good taste in the coach's mouth the last time they see him before they get out of here? And by the way, the coaches leave too. They're gone for a month and show up in July. You know, you're looking at the positions where maybe there's a lot of competition. A guy that maybe has struggled and has something to prove. These are the type of guys that I'm talking about here where, Paul, I think it's important for them to step up, have a good week of practice, and show these coaches, you know what, I know what I'm doing. So maybe when they show up at the end of July, they're in the second team instead of the third team when they set up their depth chart.
I concur, although I would also put a different slant on it and talk about maybe some of these young guys who are being given realistic opportunities at not only a roster spot, but playing time. For example, do I dare say Darian Thompson? Who, John?
Oh, yeah. He's been running with the ones.
Look at the amount of snaps he's had with the starters. And right now, he's going to have an opportunity not only to do some really good things during this three-day minicamp, but he's going to have the opportunity to continue his bookwork study, which they've already praised him for, so that when he comes back at the end of July, he is in the best position possible to truly challenge for a starting job.
Now, remember this, though, and Jeff Fiegels reminded me of this when we shot our minicamp preview two-minute drill, which will be on Giants.com later on today. That's a plug. players are not allowed to take their playbooks home.
Correct.
So they cannot bring their playbooks home, so they can do as much mental work as they can, but they're not going to have their information in front of them to do it. So they can be physically prepared, but doing a lot more studying might be a little bit tough given that the playbooks stay here.
Well, what they can do, and this is the cool thing about having NFL.com's video service. I don't know if you have that during the season when you get all the full 22 and the coaches tape and everything that's on that.
That Paul, without that, I couldn't do my job.
Right.
Trust me, it's huge.
I mean, it's incredible.
The all 22 is unbelievable.
It's great.
Right.
So, see, they don't have to, quote, get the coaches' films from the coaches of the team.
By the way, I'm the one that told you about that. You're asking me if I have it.
Well, I didn't know if you actually you know, went into the thing and put your password and everything.
Yes,
you did tell me about it originally. And so they don't have to, quote, get the stuff from the team to still have the coaches' films. They can get the coaches' films just like anybody else.
That's a good point.
Sign up on NFL.com, and there's the coaches' films. There's the 22. It's all there. So – yes, there is film study that these guys can do, even though they don't have the official playbook in their hands.
All right, we're going to start going through some players right now. If you want to continue listening to the show, please go to Giants.com. We'll have Steve Serby from the New York Post coming away around 12:30. Mm-hmm. He has another interview, and we're going to try to get him right after he's done with that. And if you read Steve's Q&As in the Post, you know they can go a little long. They can.
Indeed.
They can. So it might be a little bit past 12:30, but we're going to do our best.
I hope Don King is not on his telephone.
So
we have no chance.
So go to Giants.com right now and listen to the rest of the show. Thank you for joining us on Twitter. Folks, remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination at DraftKings. You can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Free to play. Paul, here's one guy I'm throwing out there. You mentioned one rookie in Darian Thompson. I think it's a good name. How important is this for Paul Perkins? He hasn't been here.
You know, the problem with Perkins is that because he hasn't been here, all he's had is the stuff they've sent him, materials that they sent him, and they've been allowed to evening communication in terms of Skyping, phone calls, emails, that kind of stuff. They're allowed evening communication. So as we discussed on our show last week, John, we were on Friday, he is not horribly behind, but he's still behind. Right. Not maybe as much as maybe players would have been in the past when they were told nothing. Here's the thing, though. I don't know. I'm told he's a quick learner. I'm told that because he was with Jim Moore Jr. at UCLA, he understands the pro game.
I've heard the same thing.
I don't know how much a sampling is going to accelerate him to the level where he needs to be, if that makes any sense at all.
No, I agree. But I think it's important for him
to try. He's gonna try.
Maybe not because I expect him to catch up on everything in 3 days. That's not gonna happen.
Right.
But I think it's important for him to show the coaches, you know what? Maybe we don't have to write off a rookie season here as a redshirt. Maybe, look, he learned so much this quickly. He's shown us a little bit. Maybe we can throw a lot more at him when we get back to training camp, and he can catch up
quicker.
So I think this is a way for – because, look, in rookie minicamp, you don't get a whole lot. I mean, you get some stuff, but you don't get a whole lot. And I think this is a chance for him to show the coaches what he can do with NFL-caliber players to give them a better idea heading into camp, how much they can throw at him, and where they can kind of fit him into that depth chart. Because – I got to be honest, you know, this running back crew is impressive in terms of the depth, and there's just not going to be a lot of snaps, you know, to go around. Orleans Darkwa hasn't done much. He hasn't been on the field. Neither has Perkins because of the injury. So you basically had four guys taking most of the snaps that are here, but they're going to be fighting for opportunities in practice, let alone playing time in games. There's so many guys at the position.
Yeah, Darkwa's coming off a leg issue, and as far as Perkins, here's what I will say. He's got one great advantage, and that is he's not being drafted in the fifth round to come in here and be the workhorse back.
Correct.
They drafted him in the fifth round because they think they like some things that he's done, and they're thinking, okay, you know what? He could maybe fill a role for us. Well, if that's the case, John, maybe they only have to give him a small segment and say, look, do whatever you can to master this little piece of the pie. Don't worry about the rest of it. That's to his advantage.
You're right. This is not the Rams drafting Todd Gurley. This isn't the Chargers drafting Melvin Gordon. It's
Cowboys
not the Cowboys
drafting
Ezekiel Elliott.
Right.
It's not any of that.
No.
You're right. They can pick a package and say, you know what, run with it. And the way they talked about him, I think they see him as more of that, you know, I don't want to pigeonhole him as a third-round back before we even see
third
him out
down.
There.
Yeah.
But I think that's where they see his strength and where I think he'll start.
Yeah.
And we'll see where he goes from there.
Yeah, I agree. I'm anxious to see him, if only because the stuff on tape, that jump cut and the quicks he has.
Yeah.
And the shame of it is, I'm probably going to watch him. And, I'm first time or two I see him, and I'm going to be like, wow, wow, wow. And then I got to have to pull the reins back and say, wait a minute, there's no contact.
Wait, hold on. You're going to get too excited over a rookie? I don't want to throw out the – you know what? I'm going to have some fun with you. Do you remember your rookie quote about DeMontre Moore?
Yes.
That I tease you about. That I tease you about when you first said it.
The skill set that DeMontre Moore has, and he still has to this day, a very, very explosive skill set.
Do you remember the quote, though?
He's got double-digit sack.
Well, no.
Skill set.
The quote I remember that I'll never forget.
That, you're not going to hold me to that one?
No, that one's fine. But
that's
this,
a pretty bad one.
No, that is. The one I have, I think is funnier.
What's the better
quote? DeMontre Moore is unblockable.
Yeah.
That was the quote that you gave it.
Yeah. he's got almost like a DeMarcus Ware skill set.
No, but
really does.
But it shows you how fragile success can be in the NFL.
Well,
and I think it's a lesson, you know, to all those people out there that, for example, and I tried to shut this down last week, so I hate even bringing up the name, said, oh, you have to draft Laremy Tunsil. Success is fragile.
It sure
is. Requires more than physical ability. It's a lot more than that. So a couple other guys to watch that I think are important, Paul. In terms of the wide receiver position, I think, you know, number 82 has shown a little bit. Roger Lewis, you want to keep an eye on him, how he continues to progress.
Sure.
You know what Dwayne Harris is at this point. But I do think the bottom of that wide receiver depth chart
Jeremy
is
Davis.
Something to keep an eye on. Jeremy Davis is the other name. And I think, you know, those are the two guys that are kind of, you know, right now kind of battling for the bottom of that depth chart. Darius Poe, another undrafted free agent, has done
Miles
a little bit.
Dobble had a good offseason.
And Miles White, too, he's been here, too. So he knows the system. He's been in that Packer system for a few years now, going back to when he was in Green Bay. So you're right. I think the bottom of the wide receiver depth chart, and I know people don't get excited about it, but the bottom of the defensive back depth chart. You know, after Apple, Jenkins, Cromartie, and I'll throw Trevin Wade into the mix simply because he's been running with the ones.
You don't know.
Who's 5 and 6?
You don't know.
No idea.
You don't know. And, you know, John, again, I had a front office guy tell me the other day. We were talking about Sterling Shepard.
I'm surprised you guys haven't all blocked your number by now. I mean, man.
And I said to him, you know, I'm just really, really impressed with him. And I'll be honest, I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be shaking their heads and saying we should have taken him in the first round. I think he shows that much polish. I think he's going to be that good. I really do.
It's amazing how size can scare teams away.
Right.
Because if he was 6'2", he probably would have been the first wide receiver taken.
And the front office guy, and I'm not betraying confidence, he smiled and he goes, okay, Paul, shirts and shorts.
That's a good point, too. I mean, look.
He's like, I he's going to be good.
And Paul,
but shirts and shorts.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to bring up another name. And Giant fans, it'll probably drive them nuts. You know who look great in shirts and shorts? Cenaris Moss.
Yeah.
Look like a Pro Bowl wide receiver in shirts and shorts.
And quite frankly, Jesse Palmer was all pro 7-on-7 for years. And they don't play 7-on-7 on Sundays. It happens, folks.
Things change. It absolutely does. So those are some of the guys that I think are worth mentioning. Again, I think we picked a lot of the, you know, skill positions, outside positions, because, quite frankly, there are no pads. There's no hitting. So
yeah.
You're still not going to see a whole lot. You know, you could talk about depth on the offensive line. That's important. But how much you're really going to see, these guys can't hit. So I think those are the spots you keep an eye on this week. And, of course, we'll have coverage on Giants.com all week long of minicamp. But I think those are some of the things that you really kind of put the magnifying glass on and say, you know what, this is what I want to watch.
You know what else I'm curious about too, John? We haven't really talked about this at all on any of the shows the last several weeks. Who are the return guys going to be?
Well, I mean, I think
Dwayne Harris,
right? I mean,
Dwayne Harris to me is positively for sure the kickoff return guy, and I mean the punt return guy, and the one kickoff return guy. But who's the second kickoff return guy?
And if Harris is need a lot of wide receiver, who's the next guy up? Well,
right.
I think Rainey's got to be in that mix, right?
You would think
as a kickoff
returner. If he makes
the
team,
right?
Again, well, running backs are going to be tight.
No, absolutely. You don't know if Rainey's on the team. I agree 100%. How much did he do punts in Tampa, Rainey?
He did a little bit, right? You know, you mentioned to me Shepard the other day.
I think he could do it. But again, in theory, if you need Harris at wide receiver, you know what that means, too? You're going to need Shepard at wide receiver a whole lot, too.
Probably.
So I'm not sure they would want to throw that on the rookie as well.
I'm curious about the special teams depth chart, too.
Would they roll the dice on some of their star outside players? I mean, Beckham in spot duty, right, on punts, but not more than that. We've seen Janoris Jenkins catch some punts in practice.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't imagine they're going to throw him out there.
No. I would probably say no.
I mean, could you do Vereen on punts?
You know.
Or is he too valuable?
More kickoffs. I think more kickoffs than punts.
Yeah, that's true, too.
For him.
That's fair.
There are a lot of spots. Folks, this is the one camp in the last few years that really has me excited, and the reason is because of all of the competition at so many different spots.
Crazy.
For that reason, I'm really excited about this training camp, and to watch every play and every snap for a month is going to be so much fun.
Absolutely. And, of course, we'll have coverage of that on Giants.com and on MSG with Giants Training Camp Live. So make sure you check that out. Schedule pending. You can check out Giants.com for that. All right, 201-939-4513. We've yapped enough. Let's get to the phones. Christopher in Pennsylvania has been waiting the longest. Chris, thanks for calling in. You're leading us off today. How are you, pal?
Hi, John. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
I always like listening to you, Paul. You know your stuff about the Giants.
Thank you.
Now, I want to say I think the Giants are going to have a good, awesome year, and I think it's going to be a 13-3 record.
Whoa, 13 wins.
Chris, are you the same guy that called us on Friday and predicted 13 wins, or are you somebody different?
No, I'm someone different.
Wow, that's two 13 winners, huh?
That's a lofty number.
I think Jerry Reese did awesome in the free agency in the draft.
Well, I'll tell you this, okay? The first thing that has to happen for any team to win 13 games is they've got to stay healthy. I mean, because if you don't have Lady Luck on your side and the injury bug bites you in the rear end, chances are real good you're not going to have a chance to win 13 games.
And another thing that's going to help you, Chris, in that scenario, quite frankly, is that the schedule has to break right for you. You know, certain games, maybe you play a team that has an injured quarterback.
Right.
You play a team that has an injured star. Because right now, I mean, the Giants play, Chris, a number of really good quarterbacks this year. I mean, they play Tony Romo twice. The first game, you figure he's going to be healthy, for
right.
sure.
Right.
You get Drew Brees in week two. You get Aaron Rodgers in week five. Flacco in week six. You get the Vikings, a playoff team, in week four with an excellent defense. You're going to get Dalton later in the year, Roethlisberger later in the year, Stafford later in the year. Kirk Cousins had a Pro Bowl caliber year last year. I mean, that's a lot of great quarterbacks to only lose three games.
I know, but I like our receiving core. I do. I think they're a dominating group.
Before you go any further, and I appreciate the phone call, but who are the rest of the DBs on the depth chart? Because John and I just got done telling you that they got to find depth in the secondary.
And a lot of other positions too, Paul.
You know, but specifically, yeah, you're talking about good quarterbacks. You better have some depth in that secondary. I mean, Case, I mean, you could talk all about all the receivers you want. You're really going to try to outscore people every week? I mean, is that the way you're going to get the 13 wins? That's hard to do.
It is hard to do, but I just think we really did good in the free agency and the draft, and I think everyone is this. You know, some people are saying, maybe Olivier Vernon is kind of too much money to spend for, you know, it was a bidding war. We all know that. But I think Olivier Vernon is going to be an awesome pass rusher for us.
All right, Chris, for 1 second, before we say goodbye, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and I want you to fight me off, okay? Because this is the argument I've heard from non-Giant fans or people that, you know, are fans of other teams in the NFC East. Here's me playing devil's advocate, all right? You're brought in Olivier Vernon, right? He had 7.5 sacks last year, okay? You lost,
yeah,
but you lost Robert Ayers. And he had more sacks than Vernon had last year. And quite frankly, he had fewer pressures, but not a huge amount of fewer pressures.
He had a comparable season.
They were in the neighborhood of being the same type of player, okay? So you replace Vernon. You replace Ayers with Vernon. In the secondary, you lose Prince Mukamara, who did not have a good year last year because he was injured. But when Prince is healthy and full strength, him and Janoris Jenkins, you can argue, aren't that much different in terms of players. They're similar. Now, Snacks Harrison is a great addition. You get back Jonathan Hankins healthy. Your run defense should be great. No argument there. Now you go to the offense, okay? Your offensive line is identical. Your tight ends are identical. Your running game is pretty much identical. Your quarterback's identical. Unless Victor Cruz comes back, you added Sterling Shepard, he replaces Ruben Randall. I don't know if his number is going to be much better than Ruben Randall's were the last couple of years. You're looking at a very similar receiving core. How are you getting from 6 wins to 13 wins?
That's more than double.
It's been a long time, and I think the Giants are going to make the fans very happy this year. They're disappointed what they've been doing the past years.
Chris, that'd be great. I think a lot of people would be very happy with that. I appreciate the phone call.
Appreciate the call, Chris. Thanks a lot. And frankly, we hope you're right because we miss covering playoff games. I mean, I love covering playoff games. It's been a while. But I like the optimism.
I think, you know what? It's great that I think everybody around the league is talking about their team as having a chance, and why shouldn't you? I mean, it's
right.
Only June. I get that. And I'm not going to throw cold water on anybody who says that the Giants, you know, can win the NFC East.
No, nope.
I don't know that I'm going to
cool.
go. I don't know that I'm going to go with saying 13 wins. But anybody who says to me they think the Giants can win this division, I'm not going to shut the door on that.
No, they can win the division. Absolutely.
This is a very winnable division. But beyond that,
you don't have the Packers sitting there or the
right.
or the Seahawks sitting there or whomever.
You know, Vikings are going to be pretty good this year.
Dude, the Vikings are good. And you got Teddy Bridgewater one more year in the league. They added a Treadwell in the offseason.
Big-time receiver.
And they have a young defense that's only going to get better. I'm telling you, they're good.
So, I mean,
they're really good.
I'm not going any further than saying I think it's realistic to think the Giants could be a playoff team and could even win the division. I think that's fine. I think anything you go beyond that, I need to see more evidence before I start going there.
Paul, I think that's a very reasonable way to look at things. I'm very proud of you. Very, very proud of you. 201-939-4513. I haven't heard from Kashawn in Maryland in a while. Kashawn, what's going on?
Hello, John. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Hi, Kashawn. How are you?
Good. Okay, I have four statements. So
okay.
The first thing, Paul, because of you, I have really valued the offensive line the past 4 years. I know my father, who taught me a lot about football, he told me that the offense and, you know, that football played in the trenches. But because of your emphasis on the importance of the offensive line, it really is no longer an afterthought. And so I thank you for that.
Well, thank you. You're very kind.
That being said, it's unfortunate that the Giants didn't bring in Okung, you know, with $18 million under the cap. I just sometimes feel like there's not a sense of urgency with this team. Like, we really want, you know, the Giants and especially Eli to try to win another Super Bowl before he retires. And I wonder if Okung, in fact, I think Okung didn't sign with the Giants because the Giants told him that he would play right tackle. And I think Okung wanted to play left tackle. But I wonder, you know, we'll see if that was a mistake.
Well, you know what? I think, you know, they brought him in, they made him an offer, they told him what they wanted him to do, and you can't force a player to put his John Hancock on the paper.
Yeah.
You know, if he doesn't feel it's the right situation for whatever reason, whether it's the negotiation, whether it's the role, whatever it is that he doesn't feel right about, if he's got he certainly has the ability to walk out the door and not come back. I mean, the Giants did try. They tried to get him.
And Kishon, the other thing with him, too, and again, I don't know what the nature of the talks were or anything like that. We don't know how that went down. His health was a big factor, too. So you don't know what the Giants medical people thought of his, physical either.
True. Yeah, so like I said, to all the offensive line people, we just have to put a temporary Band-Aid on it for this year and then hopefully next year in the draft and via free agency we get our long-term starters. The second thing when Odell, if you guys remember that Rams game, I think it was either Odell's rookie season or maybe last year when he got into a fight with one of the corners. Was that Janoris Jenkins or was that someone else?
No, Janoris Jenkins was actually on the other side of the field on that play. After the Giants signed Jenkins, I actually went back a show and I looked at that tape to see if Jenkins was in the mix. He was on the other side of the field and he was never in the scrum.
Right.
And that was against the Rams, I believe, week 14 or 15 of his rookie season.
Two years ago.
Okay. I just want to say, I wonder, how that's going.
No, as far as I know, these guys are getting along fine.
And, Jenkins has actually covered Beckham a lot in practice.
Yeah.
And he loves it. He likes talking to him. They have fun together. He loves the challenge. It's actually fun to watch.
Yes.
Okay. And then my third thing is, so I think it's safe to say that we're probably going to keep five running backs, right? So that means that Jennings, Vereen, and Jenkins, I'm pretty sure, will make the team. So the competition will be between Rainey, Darkwa, and Williams. And so I guess my question is, because I always get confused, I don't know what type of running scheme the Giants run. Are we a zone block? And I know there's another kind of run blocking scheme that we do. And I guess who fits what the Giants are trying to do as far as the running game is concerned? Are we trying to be a ground and pound, run up the middle? Are we an east-west? Are we do whatever you see fit? And I guess what running back will best fit what McAdoo is trying to do on the offense? Because, we know we want to dink and dunk with, short passes and throw the ball deep, but do we want a, a workhorse? Do we want a shifty guy? Like, what back best complements a hybrid West Coast offense? And then my fourth thing, and I'll listen to this off the air, I guess I want to know, too, and maybe you guys will start doing it when training camp starts, what kind of coach is McAdoo? Because, the coach sometimes reflects, or he becomes a part of the team, or his objectives, his personality is reciprocal of the team. So we already knew what Kauffman brought to the table, but what kind of coach is McAdoo? Is he like a Mike Tomlin, like a buddy-buddy, but, if you mess up, he'll get in your face? Or is he more like a Bill Parcells? Like, I don't need you. I think you're worthless. Show me that you're supposed to be here. So I'm curious, because it just seems like he's very Bill Belichick when it comes to the questions. Like, what type of coach is McAdoo? And I hope that maybe during training camp we can get some sound bites of McAdoo talking to the team, just to kind of get a feel. And that's all I have today. I'll listen to you guys off air. Thank you. It's good hearing from both of you guys.
Thanks, Colin. Good to hear from you.
Do you want McAdoo or the running backs? Which one do you want?
I'll take McAdoo quick.
Okay.
I think it remains to be seen. I mean, I think he is a disciplinarian, and trust me, if you score up in practice, he is going to yell and scream at you. I mean, he'll drop some language on you. I mean, he'll get mad, and he'll get on you. I do think he tries to really relate to the players and talk to them. So I think he put it at his press conference like this. You want to have a good relationship with your players, but you don't want to put yourself on the same level as them. You want them to understand that you're their coach and you're in charge. So I think I would call him authoritarian with a softer feel. And I think that's kind of what Parcells was. I hate to compare anybody to Parcells because he was such a unique personality.
True.
And the way his sense of humor worked and he rode people, but then he gave him a hug and it all worked out. But I think that's kind of how McAdoo wants to do it. He wants to be the guy that can coach them hard, tell them what they did wrong, not mince words, not be soft about it, but at the same time connect with these guys at a human level and understand that, you know what, they're people, I have to relate to them. So if I had to describe a style, I think that's how I describe it. In terms of the running game, Paul, they really use a little bit of both to me. They use some head-on-head, but the more McAdoo's been here, the more zone scheme I think they've used on a lot of those stretch plays, right?
Yeah, and I think really what that comes down to is what is your offensive line really good at? And the Giants' right side of the offensive line has been suspect in their run blocking to this point.
They aren't the most mobile fellas.
No. I mean, you're not going to ask John Jerry to come out and pull around the right side.
He's a big boy.
He's a big man. Exactly. And that's not his strength. Now, would you like to be – look, remember the kind of plays when they had Bradshaw and Chris Snee would come out and he'd pull?
Yeah.
You're not doing that with John Jerry.
Justin Pugh can do that, though.
Oh, yeah, but he's left side.
Right.
So – technically, you're supposed to be a stronger right-handed running team than you are left, in theory. But that doesn't always work that way, depending upon what your guys' skill
right.
sets are. Okay? So that's one thing. Then you got to say, well, is your tight end a good blocker? Well, Will Johnson's a good blocker. And now they got him from the Steelers. Now, he can help do some of those things. So that you have to take into account. And then final question about the running backs, how many? I think they keep four.
Yeah, I think five might be too much.
I think it's too much.
Sean, I'm going to make it tough on you, but I think you got to narrow your field down to four, not five.
Yeah.
So, good luck with that. It's going to be tough. Trust me. We've been thinking about it a lot. It's not going to be easy. All right. Thanks to the callers. We'll get back to you in a few minutes. But for now, we'll be joined by the one and only Steve Serby from the New York Post. Steve, you got John Schmelke. You got Paul Dottino with you on Giants.com. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How about you guys?
We're doing great, Steve. All right, we got three more days of practice here before we say levita all these guys and they say goodbye until training camp and they come back. From what you've seen from the Giants, you've been here for some of their OTAs and stuff. What are some of the things you're going to be keeping an eye on this week at mandatory minicamp?
Well, I mean, I guess Victor Cruz won't be doing much, but that's par for the course. I guess it's, you know, everybody's rooting for Victor, you know, he's a long shot as far as I'm concerned. That's why they drafted Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard, as of now, has to be the young Victor Cruz. We're still waiting for the reinforcements on the right side of the line at right tackle. But I know McAdoo said around the time of the draft that their work wasn't done yet. And what's going on with Anthony Davis? Any update?
I haven't heard his name in a while there, Steve. I mean, to me, he's still retired. And until he comes off that retired list, I don't know that there's any conversation to be had.
Well, so it's Marshall Newhouse until proven otherwise, which is a problem. I know, Paul, you were dying for Conklin out of the draft, correct?
Yeah, that was my guy. But you know what? I think that they did okay because the secondary certainly needed some help. And at corner, you knew that that was going to be an issue they needed to address at some point.
Yeah. And I heard you talking about the running back logjam. Yeah, it looks like they'll probably keep four. Perkins would have to be one of the four. So that would imperil Mr. Darkwa. I think the excitement is around the defensive line. I mean, that, you know, the Cowboys drafted Ezekiel Elliott with the fourth pick, and to some degree, the Giants neutralized them when they signed Snacks Harrison. That's Snacks becomes even that much more important when the Giants play the Cowboys twice. But that, you know, a rejuvenated JPP, Olivier Vernon, who is a stud, not the biggest guy, but tough as nails, durable, which is something the Giants desperately need. You know, there's no excuses for Spags now. You know, he's got to get the job done. He's got the talent now to get the job done with this group. The only, again, we go back to linebackers. Who are the linebackers going to be? Can Kennard stay healthy? Can Goodson come on and somehow win that job in the middle? Can Keenan Robinson stay healthy? So you know, we all thought that the Giants were going to draft Leonard Floyd or maybe even Miles Jack, but they waited again until the fourth round to pick a linebacker in Goodson. So that it's the right side of the offensive line, and the linebacking core is by far easily the two major question marks, other than Victor Cruz.
Well, I want to update both of you guys. Apparently, Anthony Davis put up a tweet a couple nights ago, which has since been deleted, and the tweet was, I quote, "I will play ball. They won't be selling my jersey anytime soon." I'm not sure what that means, but there's your Anthony Davis update for today. That's all I got.
That's hieroglyphics. Steve, you want to translate that for us?
Well, that was a tweet from Anthony Davis, or
yeah, that was a tweet from Anthony Davis that he later deleted.
Yeah, well,
great.
Look, who knows if he'll be playing or for whom he'll be playing.
Correct.
But look, McAdoo, even with the right side of the offensive line, the Giants are an impressive offensive team, and boy, if Larry Donnell can stay healthy and Will Johnson can help out in a variety of ways, Will Johnson can be an X factor, I think. I think he's highly underrated.
I agree with you, Steve.
And it's not just because I just interviewed him a little while ago. but he's a high character guy, and he fits the Giant profile to a T. And I really think McAdoo is going to have fun using him, and boy, imagine if Donnell stays healthy and Will. I tell you, this offense can be very impressive because I think Sterling Shepard is going to catch at least 60 balls this year.
All right, now I'm going to let you keep that prediction on Sterling Shepard and just toss that to the side for a minute. What are your impressions? And I know you've been around this game a long time, as I have too, Steve. Shirts and shorts. It's hard to get a real gauge for what kind of impact a rookie can make immediately. I understand that. I get that. There's certainly a ton of optimism about Shepard from everybody who has seen him so far. You've already said 60 catches. Okay, let's push him aside for a second. The other rookies, Darian Thompson, who's been getting a lot of snaps with the first teamers in the OTAs. You mentioned Goodson, trying to compete at middle linebacker. Eli Apple, who has gotten some first-team snaps as well at OTAs.
Jarrell
He's
Adams.
Also had some slot snaps as well. Jarrell Adams, they seem to be high on him at tight end. Who of the other rookies, besides Shepard, in your mind, has the best chance to make a big impact on this team this year?
No, I think Thompson. I think he's going to be the starting free safety.
You do think he'll win the job?
Yeah, I do think I think he will. I mean, we haven't seen the other guys on the field, but this is a guy, this is a natural instinctive ball hawk. And that's what he does. He's Willie Mays in center field. I think he'll be the, he may make more impact than Shepard. I think he'll be a godsend for that secondary.
Steve, how much better?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Steve. How much better do you think this defense is going to be, given all the additions that they've made? You just talked about Thompson. You can keep talking about him if you want. How much better will this Giants defense be from last year to this year? Last year they were 32. Are they going to get top 10, top 15, top 20? Where do you see this playing out for them this year?
Well, they can't be worse, that much we know. 32 is as low as you can go. You know, with Snacks Harrison – and if Hankins can stay healthy alongside him, you know, I remember Jerry Reese on the field in San Francisco years ago when the Giants were the Giants and they were completing a victory over the 49ers. And he yelled out, he was standing on the sidelines and some of the media was right behind him. And he yelled out to OCU Mignora, "Stop the run and have some fun." Well, before OC could get his sacks with Strahan and Tuck and Kiwanuka and those guys, the Giants, you have to stop the run before you can put the offense in third and long and get your sacks. So what Harrison does, what Snacks does, alongside Hankins, he stops the run and gives GPP and Vernon a chance to pin their ears back. So I think the Giants will be a top 12 defense. How's that?
12 is a pretty good jump. I'm sure they'd be pretty happy with that. That would probably make them a playoff contender for sure. Steve,
I mean, he's got me. Well, what do you think, Paul? How high can they go? What do you think?
I think they can be in the upper half, which is 16. You know, now whether or not they get to 12, I'm not sure. But I do think that with the additions they have and with what Spagnuolo can do with them, I think they're going to be in the upper half of the league. Beyond that, I don't know where the depth lies with this secondary right now. I'm still looking at this roster, and I'm trying to figure out who's going to win some of these jobs. They got to find out who the starting backers are going to be. They got to find out who the nickel corner, the dime DB is going to be. You're counting on Thompson to win at safety. I'm not sure. I think so, but I don't know. And quite frankly, defensive line depth is also a question that it's got to be solved. So I'll tell you something, Steve. I think if they're in the top half, I think they've done a pretty good job to improve in 1 year from 32.
Yeah. But you know what? In every city, with every team in the NFL, the way the parity is, and the way no team, what team has depth? Every coach in the league is looking for more depth. But the Giants have depth. They have impressive frontline talent on the defensive line and in the secondary, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it looks like it right now. It certainly does.
My point is every team, every coach has concerns about their depth in today's NFL. The Giants are not alone. We focus on the Giants because that's the team we look at here.
Right.
But it's the same everywhere else. Look, if you stay healthy in this league and you have an elite or close to an elite quarterback who stays healthy, then you'll be in the hunt.
Yeah. Let me ask you something, Steve. Forget the roster for a second. We just had a caller ask us a couple of minutes before you came on the air about Coach McAdoo. Wanted to know what our impressions are, what kind of coach he is.
His style.
We tried to answer it as best as we could. What do you see from Coach McAdoo? What do you like? What are you curious about? How do you think he's going to do as a rookie head coach?
Well, from what I can tell, we didn't have much exposure to him as offensive coordinator, but he seems to be comfortable in his own skin. I think he is. It will be easy for him to be himself. He's not trying to be Tom Coughlin. He's not trying to be anyone other than himself. The players like how straightforward he is. He's all about ball, as he calls it. He's a football gym rat who is able, I think, to relate to today's player. Not saying that Coach Coughlin couldn't, but there's a generational gap. The generational gap has dwindled, obviously, with McAdoo. But, I think he's ready. He's learned under Mike McCarthy. He's observed under Tom Coughlin. And I think he'll be a good delegator. I think he's got a good staff around him. And I think he commands a room. And, you know, I don't care what size his suits are. I thought that that was absurd.
Yes.
But I think he's ready. I think he's ready for his shot. I think the Giants made the right pick with him.
Steve, last one for me. What's your X factor this year for the Giants? If they're going to head in here and win this division and win 10, 11 games, whatever it takes to win the NFC East, to you, what has to happen?
Might take nine to win the East.
Exactly. What needs to happen for the Giants to do what they need to do to win the division? Where's your, you know, big question mark that needs to come through for them to do it?
I just think if Victor Cruz can give them a three-headed monster with Shepard and Odell Beckham, I think that will be the tipping point towards them winning the division. Because I think the defense will keep them in games. The pass rush, I think their problem last year was closing out games in large part because the pass rush couldn't get to the quarterback. So I think if if the offense is as explosive as it can be, especially with a healthy Cruz, then that defense will be able to close out games in the fourth quarter. And I'm not saying Victor Cruz is the key to the season, but I think having him would tip the scales in the Giants' favor.
You know, Steve, I think that's an interesting answer, because if Cruz is the tipping point on offense, I think you could make a case that JPP might be the tipping point on defense.
Or Vernon.
But if Jason, I think you pretty much know what Vernon can do. JPP right now to me is still a question. We just don't know.
That's fair.
He could be maybe a 10-sack guy again. Maybe. You know, if things go really, really well and he improves to such a degree that, you know, he gets after the quarterback and is able to hold on and grab him and take him down.
Or he could be a 2-3 sack guy.
Or he could be a 2-3 sack guy who last year ran around a lot and got pressures but didn't get sacks.
Correct.
So what do you think of that?
Whether he's a 2-3 sack or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9, he's still going to be disruptive. And he's never had a guy like Vernon on the other side. Don't forget that.
Well, he did in 11.
Well, Tuck was here.
All right, but that was the end of Tuck.
Correct.
That was Tuck in the twilight. This is a guy, Vernon's a 26-year-old guy in his prime who should be a double-digit sack guy as far as I'm concerned. The two of them complement each other beautifully. And like I said, if Snacks, Harrison, and Hankins can stop that run up the middle and force the Tony Romos into third and long, then it's going to be feeding time for GPP and Vernon.
Is it too much to ask for those two guys to combine for 25 sacks? Is that realistic to you?
Yeah, that's a little high, I think. That's a little high because of the uncertainty surrounding GPP, but 20 is not too high.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Steve.
Let's go with 20.
Steve, one more thing real quick before we let you go. What do you think of the rest of the NFC East? You know, do you think Washington can maintain their play from last year? Do the Cowboys bounce back if Romo stays healthy? Can he stay healthy? And what do you think about the Eagles kind of going back to their Andy Reid system, back away from Chip Kelly? Your thoughts on the rest of the division?
No, I don't think the Eagles are a factor. I would count them out. I have no faith in Sam Bradford. They've got a rookie coach, too, Doug Peterson, like you said. Their running back situation's a mess. Ryan Matthews, who knows if he can stay healthy. The Cowboys, again, can Tony Romo stay healthy? I don't know. Ezekiel Elliott will help for sure. But who's going to rush the passer for them? You know, they got
That's a good question.
Two of their best pass rushers, 4-game suspensions to start the season.
Sure.
The Redskins. I think the Redskins are a team to beat. I really like what they did drafting Dobson in the first round, especially with DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon being free agents after the season. The Redskins are the team to beat as far as I'm concerned.
I'll give you a chance, Steve, for some self-promotion before you say goodbye. What's the next big Steve Serby Q&A we're going to see pop up in the New York Post? What do you have cooking for us?
Well, I've got a Q&A, a mini Q&A for Minicamp in tomorrow's paper, as a matter of fact. So, okay.
With?
All I can, who? You want to guess?
Oh, boy.
I think it's Will Johnson. He just had him on the phone.
Excellent. Boy, you know, you can't get anything past the
team. I mean, come on now. You threw that softball right over the plate.
Wow. At least it shows that you were listening to me.
And I always listen to you, sir.
Well, no, I always listen to you. You guys do great work. Great work. So when do we start? When is the actual radio interview? This was a good rehearsal.
Steve, we will see you tomorrow at minicamp. Thank you so much for taking the time today. Steve Serby from the New York
Appreciate
Post.
It. See you tomorrow.
Bye. Hey, we love Steve. He does a great job. Fun guy, too.
Great fun guy.
Great sense of humor.
You know, it's funny because years ago, you know, he was the Jets guy for the Post, and then he became an NFL columnist, and now he does, you know, both teams.
How long was he a Jets beat guy?
Oh, golly. We should have asked him that. Well, you know, it seems like forever, and now it seems like forever he's covering the league. I mean, Steve started covering pro football in this town before I started 34 years ago. That's a long time.
You're telling me.
You know? So, thing is, he's got a lot of gray hairs, though, and I don't. Thank God for that. I waited till after he was off before I said
look
that.
Look at you just taking pot shots. I don't think Steve would argue he has a fuller head of hair than you do.
Perhaps. In any event.
201-939-4513. Folks, we got 8 minutes to go. If you want to jump on the line real quick, we have open lines. Get on. We'll pop you right up. Talk some Giants football for the last 9 minutes of the show. In the meantime, remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports free to play. And I will agree with Steve on one thing. I think people are sleeping on the Redskins too much. I think people are thrown away last year like, they're not going to do that again. Why not?
I told you last week, I mean, I don't think Cousins repeats that season that he had. But to me, right now, until proven otherwise, they'd have to be the favorites in the division.
Let me look at Cousins' stats.
I will say the one thing that he did say that I thought was pretty impressive, he's got the Giants as a top 12 defense.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty impressive statement to make.
Let me see Kirk Cousins' numbers last.
Kirk Cousins was pretty darn good.
He almost completed 70% of his passes. It was off the charts.
And I just don't see that happening again.
69.8 completion percentage. That's going to drop. That's going to get down in the 65 range, I would think. Only 11 interceptions. I figured that'll go up a little bit. Yeah, let me put it this way. I could still see him throwing for 4,000 yards. I don't think his efficiency is going to be where it was last year in terms of interceptions and completion percentage.
If you're the opponents, you hope not. Because, you know, by adding Dotson to that receiving core, and we all know what a great job Reed has done at tight end.
Yeah, he stayed healthy last year for the most part. He was better.
And he had a real breakout season.
And they really put all their eggs in Matt Jones's basket, huh?
They have.
They drafted Keith Marshall, but they didn't really bring in anybody else big time.
And here's a big question. There are two things to me that can really short circuit the Redskins offense. A, does Cousins come back to earth and start turning the ball over some like he used to do? And B, Matt Jones has fumbleitis.
He does. Absolutely.
And if he's going to be their feature back, can they afford to have him put the ball on the ground?
And by the way, one other thing I'll throw out there, too, and I don't want to make this a Redskins show. We two old guys are on the line to call, and we'll get to you in a second. Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson aren't exactly the modicum of health, either. I mean, these guys aren't spring chickens.
Nope.
And, you know, one of the reasons I think Cousins was so good last year is because those guys were on the field.
Yeah.
And he was able to be efficient because he had good weapons. And we mentioned Jordan Reed, too. He's injury-prone as well. And you got a rookie, Josh Doctson, who knows a rookie coming in how much he's going to be able to give you. So I think the health of his weapons is a big factor, too. You know, if you throw Kirk Cousins out there with a running back that's fumbling and isn't very good and a wide receiver core that's banged up, those numbers are naturally going to go down.
A quarterback's numbers, when he's got all those weapons at his disposal, are bound to go up. Hey, how do you think Eli Manning feels? He hasn't been able to get, you know, Cruz and Beckham on the field at the same time. So
let me take a look at the Redskins' offensive line.
In any event.
They might have helped themselves there in the offseason, right? Did they sign a couple offensive linemen, the Redskins? I think they did, right?
They signed one free agent, I think.
Lichtensteiger, right? Is he new?
That's him.
That's who they brought in, right? So they got Morgan Moses, second year. I'm sure they hope he plays better. Trent Williams is back. We all know how good he is. Lichtensteiger at center. And then Brandon Scherff. You know, they have a pretty decent offensive line.
But
they got a nice little offensive line.
But as you said, you know, running game.
Yeah.
If Matt Jones now has the responsibility of being the lead guy, by the way. And that's the other thing, too. He had Alfred Morris with him last year.
Oh, no.
Morris was on the down.
No, but they split 50-50.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now Jones is being told, you're the guy.
By the way, they also have Jameson Crowder, a wide receiver. He actually had a nice rookie year last year.
He's not bad.
I shouldn't forget about him.
He's not bad. They got weapons. Yeah. There's no question they've got weapons.
But the bigger question for them is their defense, too. You know, how much can their defense hold up, and how much better are they going to be in year number two? We'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got two calls. Let's get to you. Sam in Virginia, you're up first. Sam, thanks for calling in. What's up, pal?
Hello. I say, love the show. Listen to it all the time. First time call.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for calling in. What do you got?
First thing I want to talk about is we went from having legendary linebackers and a linebacking core on a New York Giants team. Now that we've kind of gotten away from it with as many times as teams pass these days. We think about DBs, DBs, DBs. But last year, being a fan that's been looking for a long time at the screen and seeing those guys playing linebacker, it just kind of hurts you because everybody calls in, like you got Charlie call in, talk about the offensive line every single day. At this point, make the players better at the offensive line. Newhouse, Jay on the right side, you guys played as good as you could last year on the offensive line. Thought you guys did a good job for what you were brought in to do. I think those guys were brought in to be backup players. It's not their fault that they have to go out there and start, but by those guys going out there and starting, they actually gave us a chance to have our offense in the top 10. So I think you got to kind of lay off those guys a little bit.
No, I think that's fair, Sam. That's fair.
And then on top of that, just looking at our linebackers like LT, or we got Banks, we got Carson, you just name it. Go back to Antonio Pierce or a proven captain like Chase Blackburn. Not saying he belongs with that group of linebackers, but just linebackers that you could depend on. For the last 4 seasons, it feels like we have nobody at linebacker when the hurt people come out on the injury report on Sunday and you look it up there and it pops up on your phone. You don't know who's playing linebacker. Seeing Unger play linebacker from BYU and he was a safety or whatever he was, it's just kind of hard to watch those guys. And that's all I really got to say. And from earlier, that guy said we was going to win 13 games. Man, I looked at the schedule yesterday. We play a ton of great quarterbacks. And for us to only lose 3 games is a lot. And it's a whole lot. And you guys do a good job. And that's all I got to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Sam. And, again, we're not trying to pour cold water, but – you know, having reasonable expectations isn't a bad thing either.
Well, again, you just mentioned the quarterbacks, and I want to just revisit the draft for just a second. This is why, when we discussed the draft going in,
right,
you know, I mentioned Eli Apple because the Giants had to address depth in the secondary, specifically at corner. If not in the first round, in the second round of this draft, John, you had to do that.
Hey, look, that was a top 3 need. We talked about it before the draft for a long time.
No question. So while you're right, would I love to have seen Conklin maybe in the first round and then a corner in the second round? Hey, great. But you know what? This is what they got.
And for fans that didn't like the pick, we'll find out if Hargreaves is a better player than Eli Apple. We're gonna find that out. We'll know from how they play on the field whether or not the Giants picked the right guy.
Bottom line is, after the draft happens, you forget about where the guys were picked. I know it's hard for some fans to do that, but that's really what you have to do. And you just look at the production of the players who are here and say, look, produce. Did we fill needs? And the heck with where the rounds were, just forget it. Just say, did we fill needs? And if they wound up filling needs and these guys produce, whether it be this year or the next 5 years, that's when you'll be able to say, all right, you know what? Maybe they didn't do it as I thought they were supposed to do it going in, but in retrospect, they got the value and the draft served its purpose.
And in terms of linebackers, Jerry Reese said at the town hall last week that he really thinks this is one of the stronger set of linebackers they've had here in quite a while. And I do think in terms of depth and number of guys that can compete to be on the roster and perhaps, you know, play some type of role in the defense, I think he's right. You know, Kelvin Shepard's a guy that's played starter snaps in this league. JT Thomas is a guy that's done that. Casillas has done that. Devon Kennard has done that here with the Giants. I mentioned JT Thomas. Well, I think he's a guy that's
Robinson
done it.
Robinson had a 100-tackle season with the Redskins.
Keenan Robinson, that's a guy I forgot. He's been a starter. Jasper Brinkley was a starter for the Vikings for a long time. So you got a lot of guys that have started in this league, a linebacker. Now, did you dole out a contract like you did to Olivier Vernon and Janoris Jenkins to a linebacker this offseason? No, you didn't. Mostly because a guy like that wasn't available on the market that was worth that. But you can't pay premium dollars to every spot on the field. That's just the bottom line. So I think they're trying to get the linebacker position better, and we'll see if some of these young guys B.J. Goodson they drafted, Devon Kennard, third year, can step up and become a star-caliber, Pro Bowl-caliber player this year.
I end one nugget to what John said. You know, you have to have priorities, and you have to understand where the biggest holes are on your roster. And for those of you who think that the Giants linebackers have been a big hole for them, well, I got news for you. This year was not the year that you were going to go in and fill it with a bunch of studs.
Now, pass rushing corner, man.
You know, because, A, the draft wasn't full of those because two of the linebackers came off the board because of injury, right? Smith and Jack.
The only guy they could have taken was Reggie Ragland still on the board in round two when they picked?
I'm not sure.
He got picked by the Bills. The Bills picked after the Giants, right? So he must have been on the board.
Okay. But
that's the only guy that I thought made any sense in one of their rounds.
So the draft was not full of superstar linebackers, and this free agent class was not full of superstar backers.
All right, Jeff in Rhode Island. Sorry, we ran a little late. Wrap us up, my friend.
Yeah, okay. To me, the Giants' improvement this year is largely pretty much mostly going to depend on the improvement of the defense.
Yeah, I agree.
Particularly as we finished dead last in the NFL last year on opponents making third down conversions on us, which was 47% of the time. So that put us dead last.
We could never
make a stop when we had to make a stop, okay? I think if the offense is anything like it was last year, it'll be plenty good enough. But if we can't get the defense to be, at least somewhere around the middle of the pack, like Paulie was saying, if we can go from dead last to the middle of the pack, to me, that's a vast improvement. I think going up to number 12, like Mr. Serby said, is a little bit too much to hope for, because I'm not really sure that we got enough in the offseason to get us to the next level. You know, I'm hoping we do, but I'm not positive that we did, because the thing that really scares me, and one of the things that scares me on the defense, is after our starters on the defensive line, kind of thin there, guys, and that kind of worries me.
I understand.
And one other comment about Rainey. You got to remember one thing about Rainey. He coughed the ball up a lot in Tampa Bay.
Very
even
fair.
Even though you didn't lose a lot of fumbles, you did cough the ball up a lot.
Good point.
Only one question for you. You don't have to answer me now because you won't have time. But the next time you're on the show, I'll call you. And years ago, in the olden days when I used to watch the football, wide receivers used to line up and put their hands in the dirt.
That's correct.
I'm just wondering what year that stopped and why it stopped.
Wow. That's an interesting question.
Paul, do some research.
I'm going to give you some time to work on that, okay?
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Paul, I want you to research that for Jeff, all right?
I will. I know in the early 70s, receivers were still lining up.
Were they really?
Yeah.
In a three-point stance?
Yeah.
Huh.
They were still doing that in
the early
70s.
Honestly, I admit, I did not know that.
Oh, sure.
I did not know that. Even the guys out wide by the sideline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And now, what year? I want to say that started to stop in the mid-70s. That's what I want to say. But I'm going to tell you, it might have even been late 70s.
Is that one of the things that Landry, you think, stopped, bringing in all his new stuff?
I don't know who it was. I will ask. I know exactly who I'm going to call, one of my personnel gurus, and he will know the answer to that, and I will have it for you.
All right. There you go.
Yeah.
Did Jeff have another question we had to answer for him or no?
I thought that was it. He was asking about the – you know what I will say? I will say he was talking about the defensive line, and then he was talking about Serby's projection.
We got Owen Bromley with that defensive line depth, by the way. That's where you want it to come from in terms of young guys.
Absolutely.
That's
you
where
do.
You want it to come
you
from.
You really do, for sure. Mm-hmm. I would only say this before we go. The depth is concerned there. The depth's a concern in the secondary. We've already outlined that for you. In terms of the number – do you want them to be top 12 or top 15 or whatever it is in points allowed or in total yardage?
I was going to say the same thing.
That's where it gets tricky.
Yeah.
Because, when people say, they had the 10th rated defense, are you talking about points allowed or are you talking about total yardage?
Because you can live
total yardage is not the killer.
Well,
it's
points. You can live with yards if your red zone defense is good and you take the ball away.
Exactly.
Now, you can be 15th or 16th in yards but have no takeaways and have bad red zone defense, and your defense is going to be terrible.
That's right.
So you're right. It all depends on what ranking you're looking at and what your metric is.
So be careful when you're talking about that and you're throwing around those rankings and numbers. For me, if you're middle of the pack in terms of points allowed, yeah. you got a chance to do something with your season.
And two micro things on both sides. By the way, we started 5 minutes late, so we're still going to go about an hour here. That you can look at if you really want to see the Giants improve, Paul, from the micro level on offense and defense. He mentioned one, third down defense, got to get better. It has to.
Brutal.
And red zone offense got to get better. And that comes back to the running game because you can O-line. March up and down the field.
That's O-line.
And here's the thing, too. You can march up and down the field all you want, and even if Cruz is there, it's not like you have these, like, tearing wide receivers you can throw these jump balls to.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Beckham would go up and get it. I get it. And you can use him in that respect, but you don't have Plastico Burress. You know, Larry Donnell might be your best guy in those situations to go up and get the football. So those, you know those little, like, Des Bryant, back shoulder fades, Romo throws to him constantly in the end zone that they complete a lot.
Sure.
The Giants don't have that easy go-to big wide receiver that can do that sort of thing. So it makes the running game even that much more important to try to get some of those easy scores inside the five.
They have to work a little bit harder and earn their touchdowns inside the red zone more than maybe some other teams do.
Right.
That's fair. So,
well, it was fun.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Are you back on Friday or no?
I am back on Friday. I've got the next 3 days. I'll be covering minicamp for WFAN, and then I'll be back with the show on Friday.
Yeah, so Paul and I will not be on the show the next 3 days. You'll have a mix of Anita, Lance, and Feagles over those next 3 days. I'm off on Friday. Paul will be back. I think you're with Lance on Friday or Anita, one or the other. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
One of the two. So I'll see you guys next week. Again, you'll have Lance, Anita, and Feagles next 3 days, and Paul's back with you on Friday. Mandatory minicamp on Giants.com. Make sure you stay tuned to Giants.com for all the coverage. You'll have a minicamp preview with Jeff Feagles and I coming up on Giants.com later on today. Then we'll have two-minute drills each day. We'll have live shots from practice. Well, not live, but we'll have video from practice. We'll have press conferences. Those will be on Giants.com from coaches and players. We'll have the coordinators on Wednesday and a lot of other great content. Make sure you check it out on Giants.com. For Paul Dottino, I am John Schmelk. Thank you for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. Everybody have a fantastic Monday.